Hi, this is Joe Levine with a podcast for Chapter 4. If you're not especially interested in natural history, you might well wonder what all this stuff about winds and ocean currents could mean to you. And the big idea that organisms are connected with each other in the environment can seem, well, a little out there. I suggest you try this story on for size. Back in 1993, the medical investigator for New Mexico faced a troubling mystery. He was shown the body of a 19-year-old Navajo man who had just died. That patient had been the kind of person many of us want to be, not just a runner, but a track star, in superb physical condition, so healthy that he had no medical history at all. Then he caught what everyone thought was the flu. He had headaches, fever, muscle aches, and vomiting. No one worried much. But 3 days later, unexpectedly, he collapsed and was rushed to a hospital. It turned out that he was drowning in body fluid flooding his lungs. He never regained consciousness. The investigator learned that the young man's fiancée had recently died the same way. Within a week, two more family members fell ill, then others in their neighborhood. Chills went up and down the doctor's spine as he looked at these data. This was a deadly infectious disease he had never seen before. New patients were rushed to hospitals. There, doctors struggled to save them, while at the same time trying to identify a fast-acting virus new to science. They called it Sin Nombre virus, virus without a name. Navajo healers also searched for explanations. Their traditions say that human health depends on a balance between forces in nature. When that balance is upset, retribution is required, and the price is a life. The agent of retribution is a tiny creature, but one that is highly respected in Navajo tradition, the mouse. While this medical drama was unfolding, strange things were happening to weather around the world. Heavy rains drenched normally dry parts of Arizona and New Mexico. Floods also devastated Ecuador and Peru. But record droughts fueled brush fires in Australia and killed crops across Indonesia. Meanwhile, Pacific coral reefs from Japan to Australia were turning white as if dipped in bleach and then dying. Off the coast of South America, fishes and seabirds died by the thousands. Seals, whales, and dolphins vanished. These seemingly unconnected events all turned out to be caused by changes in winds and ocean currents. Scientists studying the phenomenon adopted the name Peruvian farmers had used for it, El Niño, or the child, because it usually began around Christmas. Although oceanographers and meteorologists still don't know exactly what causes El Niño events to vary in strength from year to year, they can now describe what happens in detail. Normally, trade winds blow from east to west across the equatorial Pacific. These winds push surface water away from the west coast of South America and pull nutrient-rich deeper water to the surface to take its place. This upwelling, as it's called, supports a rich and productive marine food web. Those same easterly winds interact with local currents in the western Pacific to control monsoon rains in Southeast Asia and the surface temperatures in oceans worldwide. But during an El Niño, trade winds slack off and then reverse. The upwelling off South America stops and is replaced by a southward flow of warm water from the equator. Without nutrient-rich deep water, the coastal food web collapses, and all that warm water transfers lots of moisture to the air at the surface. That moist air blows east, right into coastal mountain ranges. This produces heavy rains across Southern California, the American Southwest, and Peru. Meanwhile, normal seasonal rains don't arrive in Southeast Asia, and both air and water temperatures get much higher than normal. El Niño events seem to occur about every 4 to 7 years. For much of the 20th century, El Niños lasted only a few months, but lately they seem to be getting stronger and lasting longer. Some researchers wonder whether or not global warming might be making this cycle swing back and forth more strongly and more often. But why might global warming have anything to do at all with this situation? Because El Niño, like all wind and current phenomena, is driven by differences in temperature. But first, let's get back to the mystery disease in New Mexico. As we mentioned earlier, El Niño events produce above-average rainfall in normally dry parts of New Mexico and Arizona. That rainfall helps pinon pine trees produce bumper crops of nuts. And pinon pine nuts just happen to be the favorite food of many local animals, including mice. So, the extra rain caused by El Niño produces lots of food for deer mice. And what do deer mice do when they've got plenty of food? They grow and reproduce like mad. And here's where the plot thickens. Mice and men have been living side by side in the Southwest for a very long time. Yet until recently, only traditional Navajo healers noticed that close contact between mice and humans could pose health risks. Their histories recall two previous outbreaks of mysterious disease, one in 1918 and a second in 1933. We now know that those outbreaks both occurred just after periods of strong El Niño activity. Can you see what was happening? Traditional and modern stories were converging on a scientific explanation for the disease outbreak. Researchers finally identified the Sin Nombre virus as a member of a virus family called hantaviruses. This particular hantavirus lives and reproduces in rodents, which spread it in urine and feces. If unsuspecting humans stir up dust that includes those droppings, they breathe in the deadly virus particles. The higher the population density of deer mice, the more likely humans are to be exposed to the mice and to the viruses carried in their droppings. So what's the take-home message? A change in global winds and ocean currents can actually lead directly to an outbreak of fatal disease in New Mexico. Those same changes in winds and currents produce droughts and high temperatures in the western Pacific that cause great hardships for humans and spell death to many corals. Now, remember that all Earth's environments are connected by air and water movements. Remember, too, that those winds and currents are set in motion by solar energy. And that's one reason why many biologists are worried about global warming. What will happen to winds and ocean currents if Earth's temperature keeps rising? Satellites are providing us with more data all the time, and computer models are becoming smarter all the time. But the biosphere is so complicated that right now, frankly, we can't say for certain. Some climate models predict that global warming could affect El Niño events. Other models warn that higher temperatures could cause more hurricanes to become as powerful as Katrina and Rita. And this is why so many scientists feel that nations of the world need to seriously think about human activities related to global warming. Stay tuned for further developments.